days. And there is a host of Jews from Jerusalem. Look at the text there. It's interesting. Many Jews from Jerusalem gathered in Martha and Mary's house. Those are Lazarus' sisters. And the fact is, verse 19 says, many of the Jews had come. And that probably tells us that this family was of some prominence. But it also keeps in our minds that if the Jews have gathered there to greet and console Mary and Martha, if Jesus shows up there, he's, again, putting himself in the place where they can go back and report to Jerusalem saying, hey, Jesus that you're looking for, he's here. We've got him. But it was customary for at least a week of mourning to take place. And the bereaved, the ones who had lost a loved one, they were to stay in their home, and everyone else was to come and travel and come spend some time with them. And probably some of us have that same or similar kind of custom. Friends, sometimes we're in circumstances that hope is lost, and all we experience is mourning and grief. And we stay at home, and that burden just remains with us. We're surrounded by hopelessness, and we can't see beyond that current circumstance. Our minds in those times actually can't even consider that there's a way out of what we're dealing with. I want you to notice verse 20. Somehow, Martha gets word that Jesus is on his way somewhere nearby. And this triggers something in her heart, and she goes out to meet him. She's not going to wait around for him to come to her. Here's our second point, faith in the possibilities. Because Martha's going to show that she has faith in the possibilities of what Jesus could do. Look at verses 20 through 22. You have to understand again, it's not customary for the bereaved to go out and meet someone outside of their place. The guests are supposed to come home to them. But Martha goes out to meet Jesus, trying to show him, I believe, profound honor and respect. Because you would go out to greet a person who you want to revere, and you would walk with them back to your home. That was the way you show them that honor. And even though she wanted to show Jesus reverence, if you look at the language there carefully, she also seems to have, well, to be a bit upset that he didn't come sooner. She says, my brother wouldn't have died if you had been here. Others translate it, some commentators say, that's more like saying it this way, Lord, you should have been here. You should have been here. Now this is interesting because clearly Martha has a high level of faith in Jesus, doesn't she? I mean, think about what she's saying there. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. This means that she is so confident in Jesus that she is confident that he could have healed her brother of whatever was wrong with him. Whatever illness he had, Jesus could have healed. She has no doubt that he could have touched Lazarus and restored his health. And that's faith. Think about all the times that we think to ourselves, if only this had happened differently. We're confident that it didn't have to be this way. It could have been different. If just such and such had fallen into place, if this other thing hadn't happened first, we think the issue is the circumstance. It controls. If a few pieces had fallen into place, we'd be fine. But instead, this is where we are. It's interesting, Martha has a very high view of Jesus' power. He could have healed Lazarus if only he had been there. But somehow, her view of Jesus is also deficient. Do you see why? I mean, look at what's going on. Did Jesus really have to be there to heal Lazarus? Was Jesus bound by the limitation of his physical presence, Martha? Who is Jesus? Beloved, it's the most important question ever asked. And the most important question you will personally ever have to answer, who is Jesus? Now look again here at verse 22. Martha utters some of the most faithful words you can imagine. When I read it, getting ready to preach this passage, it just stuck with me. And that's why it's the title of the sermon this morning. But even now, Martha says, but even now, Lord, Even now, she says, if you were here before he died, you could have saved him. But even now, I know, and look at this confidence that she has in him, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Martha expresses a very insightful awareness that Jesus has a unique relationship with God. Whatever he asks of God, God gives. Here's what Martha's saying. But even now I know it's possible that God bring back my brother. It can still be made right. She has faith in the possibilities. Lots of faith. She doesn't seem to think that the possibility of Lazarus being raised is out of the question. She believes that God can do that. She also believes that Jesus has a close enough relationship with God that if he would just ask on Martha's behalf, God would give it. I have to say, Martha had quite some faith. Because I don't know if I would hold on to the possibility of my brother being raised if I were her after 4 days. I don't know if you would have had that kind of faith. I don't think my human, this worldly reasoning would be open to something that miraculous. But what if I tell you that her faith was still deficient? That there was still something missing, something wrong, and Jesus knew it and wanted to grow her and our faith. She has faith in the possibilities. I know this could happen. Now look at verse 23. Here's our third point. Jesus draws out deeper faith. Jesus makes a simple statement to her. It's very simple. Your brother will rise again. Isn't that what she wanted to hear? You know, Jesus' statement could have been taken in various ways, as Martha's reply tells us. In reality, some scholars actually say the idea of telling someone who's grieving in that world, in that culture, that your brother will rise again was just a common comfort that people would offer. Probably something like, oh, they're in a better place. Or they're resting now. You've probably said that. You've probably heard that. People say those kinds of things all the time. And what do? We simply nod and say, oh, thank you. Thank you. And Martha does that same kind of thing. She nods, oh, thank you. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Actually, some authors think that there maybe is a tone of frustration in Martha's voice here. I think they might be right. Yes, I know that, Lord. I believe in a final day of resurrection for God's people. I get that message. But that's not what Martha wanted. And really, that isn't what Jesus was promising either. That was one of the beliefs of the Pharisees and, of course, others who were faithful to the law, who didn't follow the way of the Sadducees in that world, who didn't believe in a resurrection. There would be a resurrection on the last day, and it was in some sense, of course, comforting for them. But, you know, beloved, saying he's in a better place about someone in their 90s who passed away could be encouraging. Even then, not always. But what about for the 3-year-old who dies? Or the 25-year-old? Tragic accident. To us, even if we're sure that they're in a better place, we would rather have them with us, right? More importantly, based on what we're seeing here, based on what can we make a claim he's in a better place? I don't know of anyone who wouldn't say that to someone when someone passes in their life. Oh, it's okay, he's in a better place. Based on what? How can you make such a claim? Is it just some vague, ambiguous custom that we have, at least in the Western world? You see, Jesus knew that Martha believed in God. But that wasn't the central issue. Believing in a higher being or a supreme being isn't the key matter. Many, if not most, I'm quite certain most people in this world do believe in a God or in a higher being or in a power. I remember a lot of the philosophy friends of mine when I was in seminary were so excited one day. They came to class, talked about it, then it got printed in a magazine from the school. There was this atheist philosopher who publicly stated that he had changed his position and now he believed that there must be a god. And I read the article about him with excitement and anticipation. And I read it, and then I was disappointed. Why? Well, all that happened was that this man philosophically concluded that the evidence is overwhelming that there must be a creator. And I thought, duh. Okay. I said, it's a good step, but it's also equally apparent by just looking around. Listen, this, what we see in the world could absolutely not exist without a creator, and that isn't even hard to explain. And every other attempt is just meaningless and silly even. And so this philosopher changed his mind. He goes, no, oh, the evidence is overwhelming, and now I'm a theist. So? Sure, he believed in a creator, but he still didn't know the Redeemer. Look, Jesus intentionally allowed this moment to arrive because he wanted Martha and the rest of us to know something deeper. He knew that Martha had seen him perform miracles. He knew that she understood that he had a unique relationship with God the Father, but she still didn't quite understand who Jesus really is. Do you, friend? Notice this. Jesus doesn't say in verse 25, no, Martha, I'm not talking about the resurrection that's going to take place at the last day. I'm going to raise Lazarus up today. No. Instead, Jesus says, you're looking forward to that resurrection on the last day, but right here in front of you, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Martha, do you see me? Jesus is asking. You see, it isn't simply that Jesus has a unique relationship with God. He is God. The one who is the reason why there will be a resurrection at the end. And the one who gives life even now. He is the resurrection because the resurrection can only happen in him. To have victory over death, we have to be in Christ. How do we become in Christ? By faith. Whoever believes in me, Jesus says. You see, by faith, we are united to Christ. And what happened to Christ? Well, a while after that incident that we're reading about comes another scene where Jesus actually calls to the grave and Lazarus, who had been in the tomb for 4 days, rises. And after that, eventually Jesus himself is arrested and he is crucified, he dies, and he is buried. But because he was unjustly killed, because he was totally righteous, and because he is the Son of God, and because he is the resurrection and the life, on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave, physically, bodily, defeating death, our great enemy. And because Jesus rose, those who are in him will rise one day too. So yes, Martha, Lazarus will rise on the last day. This is true, but only because Jesus is the resurrection. Only because of what was going to happen on Good Friday and then again on Resurrection Sunday. But not only is Jesus the resurrection, he says something else, doesn't he? He is also the life. He gives real life. What does that mean? It means that the kind of life that we have by having a relationship with Jesus is the kind that cannot be taken away from us, regardless. Even if we die physically, Jesus says, but that's not the end by any means. In fact, he says, if we die physically, yet you have life, there's continuity, you're going to live. But not only that, one day you are going to have a glorified physical body as well. Notice verse 26. If we live, that is, if we have that life that comes through faith in Jesus, we will never die. Death has no grip. It has no power. It has no hold on me. If I am in Christ, I don't have to be afraid. You see, the life Jesus gives is the life of the age to come. In some sense, we can say that we already have future life presently if we are in Christ. We're no longer dead to the things of God. We're no longer blind to the realities of the spiritual realm that surrounds us. We're no longer ignorant of the things that are beyond what our physical eyes can see, our ears hear, our hands embrace. We're no longer limited to the temporary and fleeting things of this world. Our joy is not bound by circumstance. Our contentment is not dependent on place or status in life, riches, wealth, or fame. Why? Because we are in Christ, who is life. You see, this is what Jesus came to give. You see, John started his gospel by talking about Jesus, who Jesus really is. He says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then he goes on to say that it was through the Word that all things that were made were made. He is the Creator. And then John tells us this about Jesus in John 1 verse 4. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:5 adds, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, Jesus had to come because of darkness. Darkness, death, sin, these are all related terms. Because of sin, beloved, death entered into God's perfect creation, leaving all of us humans in darkness. In our own darkness, in fact. And it is a darkness that we were unable to escape on our own. Jesus is life. And so he came to bring life and light, to open eyes to see and to raise the dead, both spiritually and then one day physically. Yes, Lazarus was raised later on in John chapter 11, but that was just a shadow of the real resurrection that was to come. Jesus didn't only want Martha to have faith in the possibilities. This can happen. That can miraculously appear. No. He wanted her to have faith in a person. In Jesus himself. Who he is. Why he came. How he can and should be trusted. Instead of Martha being confident in Jesus' relationship with the Father, she should be confident in her relationship with Jesus. Friends, this isn't only a message for Martha. It's a message for us. We aren't called to have faith in possibilities and hope for better circumstances. We are called to have faith in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the resurrection and the life. So Jesus asks, do you believe this? And what was he asking? It's the same thing that he's asking us today. Not do you believe resurrection is possible, but do you believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Not do you understand that there is a creator, but rather do you know the Redeemer? Not can my circumstance change, but rather I'm with him, which changes our experience of every circumstance. To our last point, faith in the person. Look at verse 27. See Martha's response. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. I'll be honest, in that response, I see a number of things. I do not believe that Martha grasped the fullness of what her words express. I don't believe it. I think she wants to believe it. I think she wants to grasp it. But that's just it. She doesn't have to. She just has to know the one who is these things. One author put it like this: she doesn't grasp it all, but she's sticking with him. And that's the key. Yes, Lord, here's all I know. You are who you say that you are. I believe. Messiah, yes. Son of God, yes. I don't fully grasp that, but you are the Son of God. You are God, the one who is from eternity past and came into our world. Yes, yes, and yes. I don't know how all this can be, but I believe you. I believe you came for this very purpose, to live the perfect life, to die on the cross in my place. And on the third day, you came to rise so that sin and death will be finally defeated. And all of those who are in you by faith, and only those who are in you by faith, will have all that you have accomplished. Being made right with God, having our sin debt paid, having the Holy Spirit dwell in us and set us apart, freedom from slavery today, perfect life in God's presence forever. Friends, we are here on Resurrection Sunday, when the plans of the triune God are revealed powerfully in the person of the resurrected Jesus. All we can do is say with Martha, "Yes, Lord, I believe. And thank you. Thank you that you came. Thank you that you did it all so that we, your people, who have put our faith and hope in you, will never be ashamed. Thank you that we aren't called to faith in possibilities, but faith in you. And you never disappoint. You continue to pursue us. And you continue to reveal yourself to us. You continue to draw out deeper faith. Jesus rose because he is the resurrection and the life. Let us cling to him, grateful that he is clinging on to us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you on this Resurrection Sunday, grateful that we know who is the resurrection and the life. Lord, we know that only in you can we truly live. Every other experience is, in fact, death. Blinded eyes, ignorance of reality. And yet, we know that there is one, an enemy out there who's trying to blind the eyes of all those around us. We pray that the light of the resurrected Lord would shine brightly and open all of our hearts to receive, to grow in our understanding and our confidence in the one who came to live and die and rise again for us, Jesus our Lord. Amen.